welcome to our verse-by-verse journey through the book of James. One of the things the Bible teaches us is that God's people should not live like the people who do not believe in God. The Bible was given to us by God for the purpose of knowing Him and for knowing the right way to live, and to live in a way that glorifies God, that blesses others, and that grows faith. To live any other way is to live the wrong way. Most people in the world around us have chosen to reject God and His Word, and we are surrounded by people who have chosen to live the wrong way. And it's our hope that we can all learn through this study how to live right in this wrong way world. The book of James is one of the most practical books in the Bible. The primary theme of James is the relationship between faith and works, between what we believe and what we do. Our goal for this series is to grow in our knowledge, understanding, and experience of God. We also want to cooperate with the Holy Spirit as He works to conform us to the image of Christ. And finally, as the world goes the wrong way, we want to learn how to live the right life that Jesus died to give us. So, grab a cup of coffee, open your Bible to the book of James as we discover how to live right in a wrong way world.
Good morning, church. Every Sunday morning when I'm going to teach, a couple of the elders pray over me, lay hands on me and pray over me that, hey, good to see you. God is so good. And, they're praying that, that God would do a work here, that God would, help me to put Rick aside and allow the Holy Spirit to fill me, and that what comes out of me are the words of God and not the words of Rick, because, frankly, you don't need to hear from Rick because I don't have that much to say. I have a lot to say, but you don't need to hear it. But, this morning, and it's not uncommon this happens, as they're praying over me, a sense of excitement starts to rise in me that I can't wait to get up here. And I'll be sitting there worship saying sometimes, could they just get done already? But not this morning. This morning I was thinking, man, I could just keep doing this all day long. We could worship all day long, as which we should, as David said. But so I'm excited. With that, turn in your Bible to James chapter 1. James 1. God is so good. Amen. Today we're going to get to the, if you will, key verse of the book of James. In verse 22, it says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." One of the things we need to keep in mind, one of the things we need to remember that what we do in this life matters. It matters to God, and not just to God. What we do in this life matters not just to God, but to all of those that we do it around. And so our lives matter. And as we live in this world, and I've referred to it as a wrong world, a wrong way world, because the world has rejected God and His Word for the most part, and you can't do right if you reject God and His Word. It's not possible. And so if you're rejecting God and His Word, the only things you can do are wrong, and they will lead you in the wrong direction. Even when you're doing things that, that you describe as good, they can't be good if you reject God and His Word. It's just not possible. And we're going to see in this text that it's important that we do the right things, but James also says we need to do it the right way, because you can do the right things the wrong way, and he's going to describe that as useless. Now, I don't know about you, I think I would like to live a life that is not useless, right? I mean, wouldn't that describe most of us? We want to live a life that's, that's good, that's important, that's useful. So I want to pray, and we'll ask the Holy Spirit to teach us a little bit more about how it is to live useful lives. Heavenly Father, we do come and thank you for this day, and thank you for that time where we lifted up our voices in praise and worship to you, It was a glorious, wonderful thing, Lord God, and it brings us, Lord, that one of the most radical things is when we do it right, it ushers us right into the very throne room of God, into your presence. And Lord, that's where we desire to be right this moment, to be in your presence, sitting at your feet, and we want to hear your voice speaking to us. So Lord, we know that we need this. We need what you have to say to your church so that we can go from this place and live lives that are useful to you and to those you called us into community with. We thank you for this time. Also, as already been prayed, want to lift up John Everett and his family, Lord, as they continue that process of grieving Jody's loss. What a glorious thing it was to be there and to celebrate her life on Friday. And we pray, Lord God, that anyone was there, Lord, was drawn a little bit closer to you. And Lord, as we made an invitation to faith, we pray, Lord, that whoever responded would walk into that new relationship they have with you and would walk more and more closely with you. We thank you this time in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in James chapter 1, and we will finish chapter 1 today. So far in James, we've heard about trials, we've heard about doubt, and we've heard about temptations, and we've heard about anger. And so in verse 21, James draws a conclusion. Okay, based on all of that, this is what happens. Verse 21, therefore, anytime you see the word therefore, you always have to ask the question what it's there for. And we'll get into that in a second. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. So we've seen so far, trials and temptations are hard. Anybody acknowledge the reality that trials and temptations are hard? Some of you are weird and you probably like them, but that's because you're weird. The rest of us don't. We don't enjoy them. No matter what we know God is doing, we don't enjoy difficult, hard things in our lives. God is using them, it tells us, to perfect us and to complete us. People say, well, you can't be perfect. No, but I can be perfected. I can be more perfect than I am, and I can continue that process as long as God wants to until he's done with me. I can keep moving toward perfection, toward completeness, and I will through the things that God brings into my life, whether they're good or bad. He's going to do something that if I allow it, if I allow the Holy Spirit to do that work, it's going to draw me into that place where I am more like the perfect man, Jesus Christ, which is God's goal in my life, and he's in your life. He wants you to be more like Jesus. When? Today would be really good. You start, anytime now. God does all the hard parts. Yeah, if we really sit back and recognize the reality of God is doing the big stuff, the hard stuff, but he doesn't want us to be involved. He wants us to be a part of the process. Matter of fact, it moves along a lot faster when we are a part of the process. And so he says here that we need to do something, and this is, says to lay aside. When you see that term lay aside, we need to understand that's speaking of a conscious choice to do something. That I have to decide now if I'm going to respond to what it says here. It says, it's calling me to do something, to lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. It should be our goal, should be one of our goals, to eliminate anything that resembles sin in our lives, anything. And that we should be seeking to know God and his word well enough that we can determine what is sin, what is wickedness, what is filthiness in our lives. Because very often, there are things in your life you don't even recognize them as sin. You don't see them as sin. Some of the, and we're not talking about the big stuff. We know the big stuff. We know the physical things that we might do that, that we see, lying and stealing and cheating and all those sorts of things. We know, those are sin. But when it comes to some of the other things, some of my attitudes are also sin. If I've got an attitude of, we talked about recently about anger, that if you have an angry disposition, Bible says that's sin. Or fear. You know, there's some that struggle with fear. They're just every decision they make is bound up in fear. Fear, for the most part, is a lack of trust of God. That is sin. All these things, and we don't recognize them until the light of the Word of God shines in our hearts and reveals it to us. But when He does reveal it to us, He wants us to do something about it, right? And He's going to talk about that in the very in this very text today. We understand that these things, filthiness and wickedness and sin, they clog our spiritual ears to God. They get in the way. They get in the way of the flow of God's grace in our lives. They hinder and hamper our lives in ways that we often don't even recognize until the clog is taken away. And the reality is the implanted Word. You know, the Word of God is not naturally occurring in the human heart. Do you recognize that? You know, the things that the Word of God teaches, they're not natural to us. You know, that's why I stand up here every week, because I'm teaching what God's Word says, bringing application to it, helping you to understand it, because if you already got it, if it was already natural to you, you wouldn't need me. You know, some of you already say, well, I don't really need you now, Pastor, but okay, that's, we'll get into why that is later. No, I'm kidding. Now, maybe some of you have had to deal with this in your life. You've ever had to deal with a bathroom sink or shower or bath drain? You know, sometimes they get clogged, you know. You know, over time, as you use these things, a nasty gunk starts to collect in the drain, right? Am I the only one that's had to deal with that? No, it's okay. Two other people have. Thank you, Jesus. But as that gunk collects, it starts restricting the flow of that drain, right? And the more restricted it becomes, the more quickly the gunk collects, and the more restricted it is until at some point it stops flowing completely, right? You know, unless you're more proactive and you'll deal with it before it stops. Not me. I always wait till it stops. Our lives are like that drain. Sin is a clog. It is the gunk that builds up. And the longer we allow it, the more gunked up our life is. Remember, the grace of God, when is the grace of God flowing? Always. At what level? Full level. God's grace never dissipates. God's grace is always flowing freely, maximum intensity. But we don't always sense that. We're not always experiencing it. We're not benefiting it from a lot of times, because sometimes our drain is getting clogged by things we may not even be aware of. There's always more of God's grace than we need to experience the abundant life that God created us to live. As it builds up, it hinders the sin. As it builds up, that clog builds up in our lives. We experience less and less of God's grace. And we can, if we're not careful, get to a place where we're not experiencing it at all. James gives us a three-step process here in this text to experience the fullness of God's grace. Now, I don't know about you, but that's what I want. I want all of God's grace. If it's in the Bible and says that it's something that God has promised or God wants to give, I want it, right? How much of it? All of it. All of it. I want everything that God has to offer, every single bit. I don't want anything held back. I don't want to miss a single thing. Not to say that I am experiencing it all, but I'm doing my best. So this three-step process, the very first step, he says here in this verse, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. To experience the fullness of God's grace, we must turn away from sin, from the sin that we're aware of, right? If you're aware of sin in your life, the Bible says we ought to lay that aside. We ought to turn that away from, get that away from us, to pull that junk out of the drain. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect, because there's other sins in your heart that you don't even know about yet. That's not comfortable to do. Yeah, it is a nasty and disgusting thing to open up that drain and pull that gunk out, right? Anybody experience that? That is just absolutely no fun. I hate it every single time. It's one of those times I wish, Kelly, just you go do that. And she laughs at me and tells me to go do it. But it must be done. Why? Because if it doesn't get done, what happens? The shower overflows, and that's always a mess. She can clean that part up. Dealing with sin in our lives is not fun or comfortable. It's not pleasant. It's not something anybody wants to do. But if we don't, here's the promise. It won't go away on its own. Just like that clog in your drain, I keep every time I sense it's starting to slow down, would you just go? And it just keeps clogging, clogging, clogging. If you're going to deal with sin, you got to deal with it. You got to make choices. You have to lay it aside, which I have to make a determination. There's something in me that God doesn't like, and I need to find out what it is, and I have to determine what is the process to lay it aside, because it may not be simple. It may not be easy. It may not be something I even want to learn how to do it. Because if I don't, I'm not going to experience the fullness of God's grace. And brothers and sisters, you need to understand something. You were created to experience God's grace. God made you to be the recipient of his grace. How much of it? All of it. So anything that's standing in the way, you ought to have this passion. I want it all gone. I want all of God. I want to know his presence. I want to feel him in a radical and powerful way. I want to walk with him and know on a personal, experiential basis that I am walking with him. I want to feel it. I don't base anything on feelings, but I believe that if we are in that place of spiritual, just abandoning ourselves to God, that we're going to feel his presence. You're going to know God at work inside of you. You're going to sense him speaking to you. You're going to hear his voice and recognize his voice. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Dealing with sin is not comfortable, but we must if we want to be better, if you want to be what God made you to be. Second step, receive with meekness the implanted word. Regular reading, study, sitting under a spiritual teacher is going to help you to keep away from the gunk of sin. It's going to help. That if you're not exposing yourself to the Word of God in whatever way that, you know, that is comfortable for you. No, it doesn't have to be comfortable. Just do it. It's like exercise, which I know nothing about, but you have to do it. Otherwise, you don't benefit from it. And it's going to help you keep you awake. It's going to help keeping the drain cleared. It's going to help keeping that gunk out of there if you are regularly exposing. That doesn't deal with all of it, but it's going to help to keep it clear. It's been said that this book will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from this book. If you want to deal with sin, and if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, do you want to deal with sin? Say, yes, Pastor, I want to deal with sin. You all have it, so don't be bashful about saying it. We all have to deal with it. Then this book has to be important to you. It has to be something you don't do as a chore or as some sort of a duty. You do it. You get to do it. You get to read your Bible. You get to study or go to a Bible study. You get to sit under a spiritual teacher of some sort, whether it be in a Bible study or on Sunday mornings. You get to do those things because in that, God is doing a work to make you better. It says with meekness, it tells us. Gentleness and humility are bound up in that thought. Pride is one of the sins that will prevent the Word of God from being implanted in your heart. In Psalm 119:11, it talks about this idea of humility in a way. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. It's acknowledging the reality that sin is a real possibility in my life. And we have to all, it's one of the ways that we acknowledge the reality of God and the need for this is that sin is possible in my life. And if I don't acknowledge that, if I don't humble myself before God and say, I could sin, I mean, it's possible that I could sin, then the Word of God has no power. But when I get to that place where I recognize, you know what? I am not as strong as I would like to be. I am not invincible when it comes to the reality of sin, whatever kind of sin, whether it be sins of attitudes or sins of the flesh, whatever they might be. If I don't acknowledge the reality that sin does have the ability to influence me, sin still has a sense of power, then I'm not going to take this seriously. But when I get to a place where I need God's word, I need it to guard my heart. I need it to keep me away from these things because sin prowls around me, seeking to devour me and all that is good in God. So when we approach this book, when we approach the Word of God, whether it's in reading or the Bible studies or sermons or however you might be exposed to the Word of God, we've got to do it with meekness and humility. That means we come expecting God to speak to us. That when you show up here on a Sunday morning or whatever you're doing in relation to the Word of God, you've got to have this expectation that God wants to speak. Did you know that God wants to speak to you? When? Always. We're not always open to hearing from him. Let's be honest. You know, some of you are amazing. Just awesome. But we got to be careful because sometimes we come expecting God to tell us what we want to hear or what we need to hear, right? God, I need to hear X, Y, Z. You know, that's not humility. When you come to God, when you come to sit, when you come to the Bible, it should always be, I want to know what you want to say to me, God. Not necessarily what I think I want or what I think I need or what will make me happy or any such thing. I want to know, God, what you want to say to me. Don't presume to tell God what to talk to you about. Now, we can talk to God about anything we want. But when we come to his word, it should always be, God, speak to me. I'm listening. Whatever you say, I'm listening. And whatever you say, ultimately, we hope you're going to respond. Whatever you say, I will do. God does speak to us. But we have to be open to hear his voice over the noise of the other voices. And we do that by coming meekly and humbly to his word in whatever way it's being presented to us. Verse 22, that be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So this is going to be the third thing. It was 3 points to that. James has talked to us about trials, doubt, temptations, and anger. It's possible to live right in a wrong world. That's one of the things we believe as Christians. Okay, the world's doing what the world's doing, and we're going to try to influence, but we can't change it. And you're going to talk a little bit later in the prophecy meeting. The world is going the way that it is, because the Bible told us it was going to happen. That nothing is happening in the world around us that the Bible didn't say was going to happen. And so we shouldn't be surprised when our government is doing what the government is doing, what other nations are doing, all these things. The Bible talks about all that stuff, and so we're not surprised by all of that. We need to understand that it's possible to live right even though the rest of the world is living wrong. Even though the rest of the world is going the wrong way, it is possible for us to go the right way. And we need to understand something. Just listening to messages, just listening to teachings or worship music or any of those sorts of things will not make you a better Christian. You can listen to the much better preachers than me all day long. That's not going to make you a better Christian. It's not going to cause you to experience the fullness of the grace of God just listening to all of these things. I listen to worship music all day long, or I listen to preachers all day long. Okay, but what are you doing? Just sitting and hearing or listening at home or in your car or wherever you might do it is not going to help you to live right in a wrong world. To benefit from Bible reading or study or listening to sermons, you must apply what you hear to your life. If it doesn't show up in your life, then it doesn't have any significant value. Now, the word does not return void, and we believe that to be absolute truth, but there has to be, at some point, faith has to be applied to knowledge. Because if there's no faith applied to your knowledge, then it's not going anywhere. It's not doing anything. We must listen, learn to listen for God's voice, and when we hear it, we need to respond. It's not a complicated process. Not hard. Well, it may be hard, but it's not complicated. First, examine your life for things you know God disapproves of. Right? I mean, could we look at our life and maybe say, okay, God doesn't approve of that? And there's some things that are obvious. The Bible says, you know, don't cheat on your wife. Okay? If you're doing that, what should you do? Stop. There's a lot more you ought to do too, but I mean, any of those things, pick something. You know, any of those obvious things. Okay, I know this is wrong. I know God tells me to not do this. Stop. Repent. Get right. Examine your life for those things you know God disapproves of. Repent of them and replace them with the things you know God does approve of, whatever that might be. Get rid of the bad and replace it with good. That's the first step, just first step. Second, seek God through His Word and through His servant teachers. You got to seek God, as David said. Seek Him and you will find Him. Seek God because there are things in our lives. Remember, God is perfecting us, which means it's an ongoing process. Every single day is another opportunity to be more like Jesus. Not to be like Jesus, but more like Him. More, you could be like as much like Jesus as you are today, tomorrow, and God's still going to love you, but he's calling you on an ever upward trajectory toward perfection and completion. And we do that by seeking God with our whole heart, always digging in. I want more because there's things in me that aren't, I mean, if God is perfecting you, it's because you're not perfect, right? You're less than perfect. Whether it be a little bit less or a lot less, you're less than perfect, which means I need something in my life to lead me toward perfection. And God's only given us one thing. It's this book, empowered and enlivened by the Holy Spirit. Seek Him through His Word. Third, at every opportunity, ask God a simple question. One simple question can transform your life. What would you have me to do now, Lord? What would you have me to do now? Every opportunity you have, every time a choice, a decision, a thought pops into your mind, ask God what He wants you to do. I've had people say to me, well, don't you think for yourself? No. That'd be dumb. I know me. If I did what I wanted to do, it wouldn't be what God wants me to do. You know, at first, it might not be easy to discern the Lord's voice because there are so many other voices around us. There's my own flesh, my own desires, my own wants, my own thoughts, and the world is screaming at us through all the different ways that we allow the world into our eyes and ears. It's screaming at us. So the noise in our head can be so loud. And then we have our trials and our tribulations also creating a noise in our mind, in our hearts, that is makes it harder and harder to hear the voice of God. And I want to give you a quick, not very quick, but give you an idea. We need to learn how to hear God's voice, to discern God's voice from all the noise, to pull, extract out of all the noise the voice of God, because you know you can do that, right? You know you can hear, if God's talking to you, right? Is God talking to us? Yes. That means it's possible for us to hear him. It's possible, though all the noise sometimes get in the way. This is where faith comes in. Faith doesn't need facts before it acts. Faith doesn't need facts before it acts. I don't need to know I've heard God's voice. I just need to believe I've heard God's voice. There's a big difference. And some people will sit and wait. I need to know what God wants. And I need it confirmed with facts. I need it confirmed with evidence. I need it confirmed with all of this. That's not faith. Faith says, I believe God, and then whatever after that. That's what faith is. I don't need to be convinced it's God's voice. It might be God saying it, but I might be wrong. That's what faith is. Faith is going where you believe God is, but you don't know for certain, and you could be wrong. I maybe it's just me. I've heard God's voice. Theoretically, I've heard God's voice and then did something wrong. Did something I found out later. I determined later. And you know what? That wasn't God's voice. Three things I'm going to give you to test for God's voice. Testing for God's voice. First, does it lead you or someone else to sin? If it will, stop. It's not God's voice. James 1:13 said, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. If it won't lead to sin, then go on to step two, because these do need to go in order. For example, here's just a quick example. I want to call in sick today because I just don't feel like going to work. Is that God's voice? No. Because it's lying and stealing, in case you're wondering. So no, that's not God's voice. Second point, does it agree with God's word? First, does it lead to sin? If it doesn't, then I move on to the second step. Does it agree with God's word? If it doesn't, stop. God will never lead you where it contradicts with his word, ever. You know, an example, you know, should I divorce my wife? That would be stupid if I even thought about it. But the Bible says, Mark 10:7-9, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Then they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. So if we want to hear God's voice, you're hearing something, and it doesn't lead me to sin. It doesn't contradict the word of God. Then I can move on. I can move on to the third step. Third, can God be glorified through your doing it? Can God be glorified through what it is that you sense God telling you to do? Everything that exists does so for God's glory. Everything. You, me, this building, these chairs, everything exists for God's glory. If God can't be glorified, then God didn't tell you to do it. You heard it from somewhere else. Example, if I thought God told me to do a TikTok of my best dance moves, that would not glorify God. Definitely not God's voice. Stop imagining it. it wouldn't even glorify Rick. It would be an embarrassment to Rick and, more importantly, to God. God wants to speak to us. We can hear his voice. We need to filter out the noise because there's a lot of noise out there. There's a lot of noise around us that will lead us to do wrong things, including our own hearts. Our hearts are deceitful and wicked, and they will lie to you. Did you know that your heart lies to you? Not my heart, Pastor. Yes, your heart. Why? Because the Bible says so. And if we don't recognize that, then we'll hear something and we'll go to make a decision. And here's what I tell people. The bigger the decision is that you're trying to make, the bigger choice that you're trying to make, the more help you probably ought to call in before you make that. The more counsel you ought to get. I've had people come to me, they've already made their decisions, you know, by the time they come to me. But, you know, they'll tell me, you know, I think looking for my blessing or something, a decision they're going to make. And yet I'll say, but wait a minute, the Bible says this. Oh, but you know, you don't understand, Pastor. And my response is, well, you're absolutely right. I don't. If it's a big thing, then trust that there is a right way to do it. If it leads to sin, stop. If it contradicts God's word, stop. If it doesn't glorify God's word, stop. James says, be doers of the word. Do what God tells you to do. Do whatever he tells you to do. Whether it be through his word, whether it be through a Bible study, whether it be through discipleship, whatever way that God communicates with you, and he can communicate with us in so many different ways, if you hear God's voice and you believe it's God's voice, and you run it through the test to see if it is God's voice, then the only thing you have left, if God tells you to do something, what does he want you to do? Do it. When? Now. At the very first opportunity. Don't wait for it to be convenient. Don't wait for it to be easy. If God tells you to do it, do it. Faith does not need to be convinced before doing what God says. It only needs to believe that God is speaking. If God is speaking and it's passed the three tests, then do it. James says if you're not doing what God's word says, you're not doing what God tells you to do, you're deceiving yourself. You're lying to yourself. It's bad enough when the world's lying to us. It's you know, bad when the devil's lying to us. But man, when you're lying to yourself because you know what God says, but you're not listening to him, you're not doing what he says. Verse 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. You know, if I read in God's word or I hear in a sermon that anger is sinful, and then I look inside of my own heart and I see anger, and I'm faced with a choice. I either agree with God and his word, or I say, it's just who I am. What have I done? I've lied to myself. Because I know God's word is true. And when you do that, when you deceive yourself and you do not do what God is clearly telling you to do, then it's clogging the drain. And God's grace cannot flow through your life the way that it should. And we need to understand something. That is so important to us. Not just that grace is flowing into your life, but flowing through your life. We must let him speak to us. Verse 26, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. One of the tests of authentic Christianity is control over the tongue. James is going to talk a lot about that later on, and he gets pretty brutal with the reality of just how dangerous the human tongue is. But if we can't control what we say, it really challenges our claim to Christianity. And we can use the same test, that same three-point test that we apply to knowing God's voice to knowing what to say. If the words that you're using are words of sin, like anger, bitterness, resentment, fear, if those words are coming out of you, it's because that's inside of you, that's in your heart. Oh, he made me say it. No, he didn't. It's inside of you, and it comes out of us. That, and we're not controlling that. It's revealing that there's something wrong in our heart. And we need to learn to control our tongue. Listen, when he talks about religion, and we understand what that means. Religion is the outward expression of worship. As believers in Jesus Christ, our entire life should be an act of worship, right? Everything we do. You know, we call what we do up here in the music worship, the worship time, the worship set, or whatever, worship team, whatever you want to refer to them as. But ultimately, the way that God has created us is that our entire lives ought to be acts of worship unto God. And our religion is the outward expression of our faith, the outward expression of our worship. When it comes out, that is our religion. That's what other people are seeing. Other people are seeing your faith being lived out, and they refer to it. They see it as your religion. So what James is telling us, it's possible to act religious, but be lying to your own heart, in which case your religion is useless. You can be doing the right things, but because your heart is not right with God, it's absolutely useless. You know, some people act like religion is a bad thing. Well, it is when it's according to man's ideas and it's done to appease yourself or a church or the world around you. When anything other than God is the focal point of it, when his glory and his blessing is the object of it, then it becomes wrong. But when we make it all about God, we make it all about Jesus Christ, we make it about drawing near to him and worshiping him and obeying him and doing what the Word of God tells us, that's when religion is right. And we ought to be so careful not to do church in a way that makes us happy or comfortable or accepted by the world around us. That's not what God wants. God wants good, pure, undefiled religion, which he's going to tell us about momentarily. Verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Pure and undefiled religion has two basic components. The first is personal ministry. He says to visit the orphans and widows in their trouble. In the time that James is writing, orphans and widows were the most vulnerable part of the community. They had it the worst in their community, the hardest in their community. So one of the foundational principles of Christianity is the concept of selflessness, of putting others' interests before our own. You know, if we're going to describe ourselves as Christians like Christ, what did Christ do? He came putting aside all of his stuff so that he can come and serve us and to die on the cross for us, putting himself aside, putting others, our interests before our needs before his own. John 15, 13, Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." The idea of considering others, of putting ourselves second or last, whatever it might be, so that we can serve others. When God made us, you know, it wasn't just so that he could love us. He did make us so that he could love us, but that wasn't the only reason. He made us also so that we could serve him and manifest, express his love to others. And he did that by assigning us jobs. In Ephesians 2:10, it says this, "For we, being believers, are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Before God created the universe, before he created you, he gave you a job. He created you for something. He made you for something. Everyone is called to walk with their God in a personal ministry. I talked about being excited before, you know, as they're praying for me. There are a lot of people that the thought of standing up here and speaking in front of a group of people just absolutely terrifies them, right? I mean, some of you may have that feeling. Not me. I love it. I am excited by the idea of it. And it's not because I think I'm somebody. I just, from the very beginning, from the earliest days of my time as a pastor, minister, teacher, I have loved sharing God's truths with other people, whether it be one-on-one or small groups or large groups. I've stood in front of the Chinese church in Jakarta, that, I don't know, 1,000, 1,500 people there. Most of them couldn't understand a word I was saying, but that's another matter. Some of you can't understand a word I'm saying right now, so I get that. Here's the thing. The definition of ministry, I want you to catch this, it's so important. Responding to the leading of the Holy Spirit, to the authentic needs of others with the resources God has provided you as an expression of the love of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to understand something. Nowhere in there does it say those who have been ordained into the church, those who have been ordained as pastors or elders, as ministry leaders. Ministry is for all. God has created every last human, every last believer to be used in his kingdom to minister to the authentic needs of others. Now, not the needs that they think they have, but to the needs they actually have, the real needs. I think one of the great adventures of the Christian faith is discovering what that thing is for you. I know what it is for me. I exist to give the people of God the word of God by the Spirit of God. That's me. That's what I'm about. I know that's who I am, and every opportunity I get to do it, I do it. And I'll tell you another thing. The greatest blessings you'll experience in this life, or when you find that thing that God made you for, that ministry, that personal ministry that he created you for, you find that thing and you will know no greater blessing than when you're doing that thing. I've said this before and I'll say it again. I know God's presence when I'm doing this. He's here with me, speaking through me. I know it. I feel it. And when you're doing that thing, whatever it is, it doesn't have to be some big fancy thing. It could be very small. It could be something almost nobody else knows about. But you do that thing that God made you for, and you'll know no greater joy, no greater blessing than when you're doing that thing. So the first component of pure and undefiled religion is a personal ministry, finding and walking in your personal ministry. The second component is personal purity. uses the word here in the text of being unspotted. Unspotted means that there are no visible imperfections. When they brought the sacrifices into the temple, they inspected them to determine whether they had any visible imperfections. If there was a visible imperfection, the sacrifice was disqualified, and it had to be replaced with another one. For a Christian, what that means is that none of this world's ways are visible in them. That the way that the world is viewing things, the way the world is doing things, the way the world is seeing things, all contrary to the Word of God, those things are not visible in them. For example, many Christians are getting involved in the social justice movements that are going on all over the place. Churches are getting involved in it, and Christians are getting involved in it. One problem with that: every last one of those movements has the wrong definition of justice. They are defining justice using man's terms. Therefore, if you miss that, then everything else you're doing after that is wrong. And so, and even when at the very root of many of those things, there is a kernel of truth. There is something that this social justice movement sees in the world that needs to be corrected. Not all of them. Some of them are just plain wrong. But some of them, there's a kernel of it, but you put the wrong definition to the words, and then you start doing the wrong things. This is so important, this idea of personal purity, because it will impact your personal ministry. If you're impure, if you are spotted by the ways of the world, then when you go to do your personal ministry, then it's going to be impacted by that as well. And your personal ministry is meant to go out and to touch, to meet the needs of those that have real needs out there. Because are we not surrounded by people with real needs, whether they be spiritual or physical, relational, emotional, lots of different needs that are out there. And God made each of us uniquely so that we're able to meet some of those needs around us. And your personal purity will determine the degree to which you experience the grace of God, but then through your personal ministry, express the grace of God. Because a drain, if it doesn't have an outlet, what happens? It doesn't work. And God is, and when if you put a block on the end of that drain, then only the grace that comes in that moment is experienced. No new grace is experienced. I personally want to have the biggest drain possible. I do. I want to have a giant drain so that as it's flowing through me, God's grace is flowing through me, I'm experiencing more and more of God's grace myself. Your life matters to God. All lives matter to God. All lives are important because everyone was created, every living human was created to take God's image out. And God needs his people to do God's word. He gave us this book so that we could know how to bear his image out into the world, so that we do it so that the greatest experience of God's grace could take place, so that I can experience, so everyone around me can experience. And the more they're experiencing it, the more they then take it out as well. Every last one of us created in the image of God for his glory and for the blessing of others. God didn't create you just so that you could live. He didn't create you so that you could have a job. He didn't create you so that you could be successful. He didn't create you so that you could be happy. He didn't create you so that you could be anything other than his image bearer out into the world. All the rest of the stuff that we might experience in life, that's all extra. If we miss that first thing, my number one goal in this world is to bear God's image out into a dark, wrong way world. If I miss that, I've missed everything. then my religion becomes useless. He created you with a purpose. And that purpose is a personal ministry that must be practiced with personal purity. Now, you're not going to be perfect. No one is. But are you allowing God, through His Word and the power of the Holy Spirit, to perfect you, to draw you into a deeper relationship with Him so that you might reflect His image more clearly, more brightly, living in this wrong way world? Is not about what you don't do. You know, too many focus on that. You know, what you don't do, that's not what the focus is. The focus is about what you do as an expression of your faith. That's what we should focus on. Focus on what you do as an expression of your faith. Now James did tell us to lay aside all that other stuff, and you should deal with that. But that's not the main thing. The main thing is doing the Word of God as an expression of faith. God's grace is flowing all around us. And if you want to experience more of it, and your response should be, yes, I do, I want to experience more of it, then we got to deal with any sin you know about in your life. You got to get to know God better. You got to do what He says. You need to find your personal ministry, and you need to walk in personal purity. Do that, and you will experience more and more of God's blessing. You'll experience more of His grace. His grace will flow out of you into the lives of others, and they will be blessed by it. They'll experience the presence of God. Even if they don't know Him, they'll experience the presence of God just because He's flowing out of you. His grace is touching the lives of others, and just maybe, they'll be drawn to that. Not everyone. Now, the reality is that sometimes they don't want to know Him, and they lash out at it. But if you do that, do God's Word. Do what it says. Do what He tells you. Learn to hear His voice. Walk in faith, choosing to do what you believe God is telling you to do, even when you don't want to, even when it makes you afraid, even when it's hard, do it. And watch God bless. Amen? Heavenly Father, we come and we thank You for this time. And as we prepare our hearts for communion, Lord God, we pray, Lord, that you would minister to Your people through Your Word, and that we would be doers of the Word. We pray, Lord, for anyone who is here or listening or watching online, if they don't have a real relationship with You, if they've just been faking it, if they've been backslidden, whatever they might be, or they just have never had the opportunity, we pray that open their hearts right now to receive You as their Lord and Savior. Save them from themselves. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us on this exciting journey through the book of James. It's our hope that these messages will help you to grow in your faith. If you have any questions or there's anything that we can do to help you with that, please don't hesitate to connect with us. You can reach out to us at calvaryfe.com/connect to find all the different ways that you can connect with us. As believers, as Christians, we are all connected in Christ. And one of the ways that we'd like to engage with you is in prayer. Please let us know how we can be praying for you. You can send us an email to prayer@calvaryfv.com or text the word PRAY to 951-419-5396. If this material has been useful to you, please share it with someone and let them know how it blessed you. Also, please pray that God would use these messages to help others find hope in Jesus Christ. You can also partner with us financially by going to calvaryfv.com/give or text the word give to 951-419-5396. Until next time, go be radical with Jesus.